Oh, goody. Okay. Thank you, guys. Full disclosure, public speaking has, it's not my favorite thing in the world. So just bear with me. But my name is Melanie and I'm a codependent. I created a PowerPoint to bring some visual excitement to this hour and a half long session. So as long as I can figure out how to share it, I think we'll be good. And probably start at the very beginning. There you go. Okay. So I kind of wanted to do step two for a selfish reason. I struggled with step two. I've been in recovery for, it'll be 6 years in December. I like to round up. I started in a different program and I struggled. I mean, I got that program to the point where the obsession had been lifted and I had been seemingly restored to some semblance of sanity. But I feel like I was missing something, and a lot of it had to do with the emotional sobriety. So I found in working this program that step two, I never really was able to grasp as far as, like, maybe I was being a perfectionist, maybe I was being too hard on myself, or I wasn't willing enough to, like, put some of, like, preconceived notions aside and prejudice and bias about, like, this God that I was raised to believe in. So my hope is that with this presentation, that other people that might be able to relate to having this heebie-jeebie feeling when the word God is mentioned, that maybe we can find some, like, if not common ground, then we can come together to, like, learn something about ourselves and what we would want in higher power. Because essentially the beauty of this step is that we get to decide. So step two is actually really small in the CODA book. And I was going to ask if anybody would like to just read a few paragraphs and we'll just go over what step two is. Can I get a volunteer to read?
I can read it. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I think you're muted.
Man. Ah, okay. Thank you. Can you see the book now? Because I had to switch screens.
Oh, the rest of it. Okay. Came to believe. In the beginning, we came to believe by attending meetings and listening. We heard others as they described the relationship with the higher power. We noticed that those who maintained a regular connection with this power experienced what we sought, recovery. Because we were members of a 12-step program, the form of this power was left to each of us to discover. We came willing to entertain the possibility there was something that could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Restore us to sanity. With the help of others in the program, we began to look more clearly at our own behavior. We discovered a great truth in step two, that continuing to act in a self-destructive manner, no matter how well-meaning we believed we were, was insane. And once this behavior became compulsive, any belief we held that we could control it on our own was equally insane. Becoming honest with ourselves was at times painful. The reward was magnificent. As we came to believe and embrace the simple and profound truth offered in this step, the seed of humility produced by our admission of a powerlessness in step one was nurtured. We experienced a sense of freedom and hope by our willingness to have a true higher power. At this point, our faith emerged. In step one, we recognize our failure in our own attempts to play God. We also allow others to be our God. We recognize that we must seek help beyond ourselves and those to whom we've given authority. In doing so, we become ready to develop a belief in a power greater than ourselves, a power that can restore us to sanity and health. In step two, we begin establishing or strengthening this belief. For those of us who do not know a higher power, we embark on a new and wondrous relationship. For those of us who have a relationship with a higher power, this step can help us strengthen its weaker areas. Through our work in the first step, we learn that as children, we may have prayed often for God's help, but the neglect and or abuse continued. The authority figures in our lives were often unavailable and absorbed in their own addictions and codependence. As adults, we try to leave those circumstances behind, only to find ourselves in adult relationships where similar or extreme opposite behaviors occur. We keep praying to God, but nothing changes until we turn away from our addictions and from the people with whom we're obsessed. We may continue to look to others for solutions, peace, hope, and our sense of identity and worth. We begin to feel more worthless because our humanness won't allow us to be our own higher power, or we give that power to others. We are left with few choices. Only one offers us the freedom, strength, and serenity we so desperately need.
Okay. Thank you, Justin. I'm going to stop right there. I don't think there's a whole lot left. We're going to go back to it, though, because I decided I'm just going to go back and forth. Okay. So the book, that's from the Code of Blue Book, which is like the code approved official like textbook, where it's the insanity of codependency. And it said specifically that continuing to act in a self-destructive manner, no matter how well-meaning we believed we were, was insane. Once this behavior became compulsive, any belief we held that we could control it on our own was equally insane. And to me, like, insanity came in so many different areas, but I didn't recognize that as insanity. I recognized it as things that were happening to me against my will, or things that I didn't know how to deal with, that maybe I just wasn't. I felt like I was on a spectrum for a very long time because of like the issues that I had with all of the thoughts that were in my head, the behaviors, the compulsions, the obsessions. I spent so much time just stuck in like this hamster wheel of, I don't even have a word for it, but I can picture it. It's like that dark dust cloud that you see like in the Charlie Brown film or something. And I continued to basically follow my urges and my impulses with substances, with relationships, with weird patterns, like almost OCD-ish. And I wondered why I was so miserable. There's a definition of insanity where it, and I'm not sure who quoted it, but it was insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And that was essentially what I was doing. I kept thinking that eventually I'd get it. This is just where I'm at. And that things would just kind of somehow work out by me continuing to do the same things that were causing me so much pain. So moving on, there's a story. I don't know. Most people in CODA, I would assume, know who Melody Beattie is. She's like the unofficial CODA author. Her books aren't CODA approved, but there's a book that she wrote called Codependent Guide to the 12 Steps. And in that book, there's stories about different people and their struggles with the insanity of codependency. So I highlighted Sarah's story because it was particularly intense, where she came in as an overeater, then picked up bulimia and anorexia. I became a sex addict, a relationship addict, and a pill addict. So she starts with OA, and then she loses the weight, and she starts to feel better about herself. She's currently married, but having affairs with lonely men. So she's like replaced food in the sense with relationship sex and like this filling some sort of void. She separates from her spouse and then becomes a drug and alcohol counselor. And then she becomes involved with a patient who didn't stay clean for very long, but she moved him in. And then she also started using drugs and alcohol. So she took herself to treatment. She completed drug and alcohol treatment, then reunited with the boyfriend that she had met as a patient and moved him back in, and he was still using. So that's just one example of the insanity. Like, she started in a program, she was working it very diligently, but there was something about what she was trying to accomplish that was still fixated on, like, trying to control her emotions or needs, whatever it was. She was still having a hard time relinquishing, like, this control, and she was seeking relief from all of these outside sources. In this book, it says a power greater than ourselves. So according to Melody Beattie's book, it says we don't have to begin with a complex understanding of a higher power. We can start wherever we are with whatever amount of belief or disbelief we have at that moment. The program is spiritual, not religious. The steps were written to be compatible with all religious and denominational beliefs. They were also intended to be accessible to those without religious or denominational beliefs. What I love about step two is that it does not conform to any specific religion or entity, or like it says in the traditions, like the outside, or what is it? I already forgot. I'm sorry. Enterprises. That's it. It basically is just trying to create your own connection, your own relationship with whatever. And I know the word God can be very discouraging to a lot of people in recovery. My home group, we meet Tuesday night, and it's an all women's group. We created this excerpt that I wish I would have, like, put in here, but it basically says that for newcomers that are present, you're here, you'll hear the word God mentioned, because that's just another word for higher power. It does not mean that this God has to be something specific. It's just a word that's used interchangeably with the universe or spirit or unknown or nature. It's just a word that represents a power greater than ourselves. And so, in order to be restored to sanity, we have to be honest with ourselves. And that starts with step one, like the acceptance to recognize that our lives are unmanageable, and that we're powerless over other people and their behaviors. I could easily recognize that I was powerless over substances. I got it. After tons of bottoms, I finally got it. But I had no idea how insidious, like, that powerlessness and the compulsion can be, because I had immediately, like, attached harder to people. And I did the same thing that I did in a sense with alcoholism, like the battle. I tried to, like, control, manipulate every little thing to get what I needed or what I felt like would give me some sense of relief. So let's go back to the book. And would somebody like to pick up reading? Yeah, I think we're over on here.
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Sally.
Sally, codependent. Some of us come to CODA already believing in a loving God. We may feel God's loving presence through hardship, or believe that God abandons us in times of need. Many times, shame causes us to believe we're not good enough to warrant God's love, goodness, or grace. Some of us have little or no concept of a higher power, or we may have forgotten or abandoned our learned concept of God. A review of chapters 1 and 2 can help us clarify our concept of a higher power. In our childhood, our higher power may have had personality traits similar to authority figures. At times, God may still resemble a punishing or shaming person, like a tyrannical spiritual leader, family member, or friend. We find it helpful to list the personality characteristics and traits of a higher power with whom we do have or would like to have a relationship. This can help us determine if we have transferred personality traits and characteristics from our former or present abusers to our higher power. To better understand these concepts, we talk with others in CODA and learn from their experiences. Some people may choose nature, the universe, or their home groups of Codependents Anonymous as their higher power. Others choose, renew, or strengthen a belief in a higher power of religious convictions. We learn how they struggle, just like us, and how they experience many miracles in their lives and relationships with God and others, often in spite of their doubts and fears. We learn of their spiritual discoveries and how God works in their lives, even when they ignore God's presence.
Thank you so much, Sally.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go back to the PowerPoint. Okay, so, oops. In like a very brief little chart, I created some things that the word God has been synonymous with. There's a few acronyms that people in recovery seem to love so much, and coming from a different program, they were very acronym heavy. One was for people that struggled with the concept of a higher power and couldn't get over like this idea of somebody that was shaming or condemning, whatever caused them a sense of trauma, including the word father. A lot of people struggled with seeing the word father as a representative of a higher power, which another reason why I love the CODA's approach is because they use the word God in the 12 steps instead of pronouns. They're one of the recovery programs that like stripped like the gender identifying pronouns so that people didn't feel like they were subjected to a specific version of God. I think even the AA 12 steps still use the he pronoun. For those that it works for, that's great, but there are so many that needed to be able to feel like they weren't being subjected to the same type of religious entity. And so some people replace the word God with good orderly direction. My favorite would be gift of desperation, which I found myself in. And that's the reason I got into recovery in the first place. And then like the book said, nature, universe, or a home group. Like the idea behind having a home group as a higher power is that you see something working in all of these people, and collectively they could be, represent a power greater than yourself. So if I were to say that I was struggling with some decision and I didn't believe in anything and I didn't know essentially what to pray to, I would ask a group of people that I trusted that were living their life in accordance with morals and things that I felt like I needed. And people in recovery for me have been like the best lifeline that I've ever had. So that would be another like interchangeable word for God. What it isn't, it's not a significant other, not ourself, not a family member, parent, a friend, or another human being. Sometimes just knowing what a higher power is not helps to like start the process of figuring out what it is for whomever. Another reason why I really like the step two and the approach to this higher power is that they encourage people to be where they are. I believe this quote came from Melody Beattie's book as well, but it says, struggle with the higher power concept. Struggle all you need to, most of us have. Struggle until you find your higher power and know your God cares about the largest and most minute details of your life. At the very bottom, this will also be listed in the resources, but for people that were agnostic, atheist, or just completely unwilling or maybe just not ready to look at a higher power, even just the concept of whatever they formed in their mind to represent a higher power. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has a chapter called We Agnostics, and it basically validates the reasons why people have shied away from a God and have been skeptical and questioned having this supreme being be in charge of their life. And it essentially just says the same thing, like allow yourself to be where you are and become willing to believe in something. And if you're not willing to believe in something, then be willing to be willing and just start from there. Do not worry about how it will happen. Do not worry about when it will happen. All we need will be given to us, done for us. We are in the process of becoming changed. All we need to do is believe. Transformation will take on a life of its own if we let it. And so essentially, this is, again, just saying that for those people that are struggling with the concept of a higher power, to allow themselves to just struggle. Not force yourself to, there's no deadline for step two. There's no specific idea or religion or denomination. It is literally just whenever you come to believe, you come to believe, as long as you're willing to try or to be open-minded or to show up to a meeting. I mean, really, for some people, I know that all they were willing to do is show up to a meeting. They may not have bought into anything that anybody said, but they kept showing up. And that started something. And eventually, over time, they were able to become more comfortable with whatever higher power they felt connected to. Let's see. All right. Move forward. Okay, so this is the chapter four, We Agnostics. And that's a link. So I'm going to essentially attach this PowerPoint into the chat so that people can access that document. It's free. It's online. And it's the We Agnostics for those that are still really struggling with some semblance of what a higher power means to them. I think one thing that somebody had taught me when I was struggling with the idea of myself was they said, you don't necessarily need to believe in a higher power. You just need to know that you're not it. And that resonated with me in a way that pissed me off, actually. But once I kind of came around to it, I understood, like, I could take that weight of the world that I had put on my shoulders for so many years. I could finally, like, relieve myself of that. I didn't have to be running myself into the ground trying to make things happen under this illusion of control that I never really had in the first place. For those that feel like they're lost, confused, or even resistant, the gentle brilliance behind step two is that nothing is asked of anyone other than to become willing to believe or be willing to become willing. The steps don't demand anyone come up with a concrete definition of a power greater than themselves. It is essentially just to know that we are not the higher power. And we don't have to do it on our own. I'm part of a Power of Five group, and it is the document is actually on the CODA website. It's 30 questions that go over steps 1, 2, and 3, and they're very in-depth. These questions are painful, but they are very much, like, appreciated when I was able to be with a group of people that I trusted. And it helped me, like, get a better understanding of the reasons behind my codependency. Like, it did away with a lot of the shame and guilt that I carried around for so long. And considering, like, the shame and guilt, a lot of that came from my concept of a higher power. When I was younger, I remember being, like, the annoying child in Sunday school that was like, hoorah, God. And one day my mom had said something to me about fearing God. And I didn't understand. Why would I fear God? And God in my head was like this loving, nurturing, compassionate, shepherd-like type of person that I felt like was watching over me when I was terrified. And I was terrified a lot as a kid. And when I started to realize like the different viewpoints that people have of God based on like specific religions or what have you, I started to like and take over all of that shame and guilt. And I didn't have a place to put it because I thought if the higher power or God that I felt was watching over me my entire life is now against me because I don't conform to a lot of like the society's natural, I guess, plans for me. I didn't subscribe to a lot of the social norms. And it was to a point that according to the religions that I was raised in multiple religions, I was going to go to hell and that was it. It didn't matter if I was a decent person. It didn't matter if I tried to change things. It was specifically because this was part of how I identified myself and it wasn't acceptable. So there's these questions and one of them in that PDF format is called Willing to Explore, as in making a list of things that you would like your higher power to have. Basically gives you all of the freedom to say, what if I could believe in something, what would I want to believe in? What would I want this energy or source to be for me? And by doing that, I could finally transition a little bit away from like that fear and the shame. I still struggle today with the picking my own God, essentially, because I feel like who am I to say that there's a God that fits my own like selfish, self-centered mentality? But the truth is that recovery has taught me to stand on grounds of morality, to have boundaries, love for myself, and to just want to be a better person. And with that, I was able to come up with higher power that I can believe in and feel like it's not wrong. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but that's essentially where it could start for me. I did not realize it was already 2:10. We still have another 50 minutes, I think. Okay. So I wanted to like give people an opportunity to essentially talk about their experiences with higher power, the concept, good and bad, and if they are so willing to create this list of attributes that you would want if you were to have a God of your own understanding. The other one, this also comes from the 30 questions, is discuss building your own concept of higher power. Where have you put your misplaced faith in the past? Are there areas in your life that you had all of this like faith and a sense of belonging and then felt betrayed or let down? Or did you just change your faith along the way? Like what specifically for you has your journey been like? And then discuss surrender and letting go of your controlling and avoidant behaviors. And essentially that just kind of goes back to step one. But it looks at like the insanity, the things that I wanted to get rid of in my life for so long and how I could incorporate a loving supreme being, whatever that is, into my life to make me feel like I'm capable of overcoming the problems that I've carried with me, even through my sobriety. Like the need for people to like me, the fear of rejection, abandonment, shame, the fear of like totally bombing a presentation in front of like 60 some people in the middle of the night, like all of those things that I carry with me on a constant basis. Every moment that I've held on to those thoughts, I'm not surrendering. And thank God for a program that lets you screw up as many times as it takes. And people are still there to love you and hold you up because I have not done this gracefully or perfectly. Here are the resources. And again, I'll like share all of this in the chat, but I wanted to at least give enough time for people to talk about their own experiences. I'm all for questions, but I feel like as a codependent, my natural instinct is to want to fix and solve an issue. So for questions that might come my way, I feel like the best thing I can do is tell you what my own experience is. And if I could provide resources or anything else along the way, I'm happy to do that. I just don't want to create this idea because I'm not an expert. I am a licensed counselor, but I've got plenty of work ahead of me. And so I want this to be like a team effort, because I feel like the steps say we, and I am no better and no worse than anyone else. So it was very disorganized. I had notes. I didn't read any of them for whatever reason. So I'm just going to let you guys share. Rick.
Hey, Melanie, thanks for sharing. I'm codependent. I've been in CODA for close to 4 months. I'd like to share a bit on how I find this step to helping me, and maybe like to learn a bit from you as well. Initially I'm not that. I thought God has something to do with religion, and I'm not a very religious kind of person because of my background. Everyone is telling me different religions is the truth, and their version of religion actually harms me because it makes me feel even more lost and ever. And when I was doing this, I got sponsored in CODA. Like I haven't finished it, the steps yet. I think I'm on day 10 now. And what comes to my realization is that how I'm gonna use this tool, helping me with my recovery, is that whenever I got compulsive, like compulsivities, and I just couldn't I just feel restless, and I think I have CPTSD as well, so I kind of like figure a lot of different versions of a single incident that will lead to. And sometimes it just numbs me or paralyzes me instead of, encouraging me to take actions. And when I read these 12 steps and promises, all these things over and over again, it just gives me a different meanings every time I read to it. And I realized that I started to learn about the word surrender and how to work it. And it helps me to be less paranoid, and sometimes it takes courage to surrender as well, I guess. In my own way, I think that's how I got to learn. There was something greater than me, and there's God. And I did read about one book. It's talk about inner child healing. They also asked me to define my versions of God. That helps me to anchor to it, as a two. So I felt quite peaceful, and sometimes like if I'm able to use this tool effectively, and I guess it helps me in giving out myself. I surrendered myself to a higher power when I couldn't control everything. That's how I use it most often. Maybe you can share a little bit about what are the other ways we can use to have this higher power in helping us with codependency.
Okay, just so that I make sure that I heard you right, you want to know how?
Please continue.
No, I just want to make sure that I heard you right, because my hearing is pretty terrible some days. You want to know how higher power could be beneficial for people in recovery?
Yeah. So the way I relate to it is I surrender myself to not control it, and I have lessened my own worriness in that, and it helps me at times. But I'm not sure if there's other ways we could relate to this concept or God, you know, or as a recovery tools, you know, that would be effective in helping us in other ways. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like for me specifically, a higher power meant that I didn't have to be in control anymore. And there were plenty of times in my life. And again, this is an ongoing process for me. I am nowhere near completed. I'm not going to graduate anything. They're not going to hand me a certificate and a cupcake, you know, at the end of the month, because I've progressed so quickly. Like, this is an ongoing everyday battle. But having a higher power for me means that I don't have to be it. I have something that, instead of relying on my compulsive behaviors, my obsessive thinking, my addictions, the need to like fill some sort of void or change the way that I feel, higher power took the place of all of those things and is still in the process of doing that, to where I felt like I was free from like the bondage of self, the bondage of my thinking. And with or without, I don't think anybody needs to have any concrete vision of a higher power to want to be free from like all the other chains and shackles that I know I had because of my codependency. I needed to know that I did not have to act on those urges and things would work themselves out. That it didn't come all down on me and my willingness to manipulate or coerce or change these things to be okay. It was essentially being able to surrender and just let life happen on its own terms. And that to me is essentially like coming to believe in being restored to sanity. I don't know if that answers your question at all.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I wanted to ask. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Rick. Let's see. Judy?
Hi. Yeah, thank you very much, Melanie, for your talk. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so you put a really interesting, I'm codependent, I'm new, and you put an interesting question there in your second last slide, you know, discuss building your own concept of a higher power. Where have you put your misplaced faith in the past? And I just love the way in CODA it's really okay to talk about these things where I feel these are sticky points for me, and just to be able to have an honest discussion about it, I find just that so refreshing and really helpful to me. In my family of origin, I was actually forbidden to say God because they were atheists. And although I have moved out at age 17, I've been carrying it in my head for so long that if I think God or say God, I feel, oh my God, I've done something naughty. Like, we were not allowed to say angel or God. And because it happened from when I was a small child, you know, it's really deep inside me. And that's why it's so important now for me to talk about your question here, discuss building your own concept of a higher power. Because, of course, I respect my parents and they have said they have the good reasons why we shouldn't talk about God. And they were really afraid of me getting the concept of the original sin into my head. It was really important to them. And I mean, wonderful. It has done a lot of good to me to say, look, you know, the body is something good. There is no shame in having a body and having desires. That's really a gift they have given me. But at the same time, I felt that they made themselves the higher power. And to have these two humans as a higher power was very, very damaging again. So I've got the good and the bad. And when you say discuss surrender and letting go of your controlling and avoidance behaviors, that's again, I'm quoting your second last slide. just from my own experience, I just wanted to share, and I don't know if you've got any experience with that. Growing up in that atheist household with these two human beings as a higher power, my mom and my dad, what actually happened for me after I was like in my mid-20s, I then kind of tended to go towards cults with a warm, charismatic leader. And that was, again, incredibly damaging, but I needed that warmth because the atheism was such a cold thing. I experienced it as cold. So I needed that warmth. So I went from one polarity to the other. And hopeful, because like these words like surrender, they're really triggering for me, because the charismatic cult leader was talking a lot about that. Give me your money, surrender. So you raised really important questions for me. I don't know if you want to add something to what I have basically responded. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy. So I have like this fear of being embarrassed or shamed in the moment of being vulnerable. And because of like that fear of vulnerability, I can relate to hearing like the word surrender and thinking like all of the things that would happen once I did surrender, like that worst case scenario, or am I going to be like stripped of everything? There's been times where I've prayed, that I say, I want your will, whatever the will is, like universe, spirit. I believe that there is an energy that is working in my favor. But I'm terrified of the idea of surrendering, because what is that going to mean? Is that going to mean that I'm going to have to face more pain? Because usually when I surrender, it's because I've like been beaten so far down, at least emotionally and spiritually, that the fear of changing was not as bad as the fear of staying the same. When I think of surrendering to a recovery program that outlines promises and has other people that I see having these relationships with whatever concept of God that they have, and their lives are working out, and they're essentially happy, and they're authentic. I think about those people and I realize like I'm not surrendering so that somebody can take over my entire being and extort me for whatever reason. I'm surrounded by love and light and comfort and growth, and I'm seeing these other women who have gone before me and done the things that I'm struggling to do, and their lives are working out. And I feel like that's the proof that I need to believe that, you know, wherever I'm willing to be at, or whatever I'm willing to do at this moment, as long as I'm in this program with these people, I'll be okay. I hope that helps you somehow. I don't know if that was really what you were trying to get at.
Yes. Yeah. Very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Georgina?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thanks so much for the workshop so far. My question is, I'm 5.5 months, years sober from food addiction, and I've been clean from all mind-altering substances, and so I'm aware that there is a higher power that's lifted those obsessions from me, and I'm at the next level of my recovery program journey, which is dealing now with the emotional sobriety and the issues that I'm having, the profound issues I'm having with relationships, and looking to external kind of acting out behaviours to actually cope with life, which just aren't working for me. And the issue I have at the moment is why I'm grateful to be at this workshop is, although I know that there is a higher power working on my behalf, I've not been able to come into relationship with it. And I just was interested to know what that relationship kind of looks like or feels like, or is it how it's experienced? Because at the moment for me, it feels like there's a void, and I'm just having to have faith in that void that things are going to be okay if I surrender, as you've outlined. But then that still leaves me, I still feel a bit paralyzed because my issue is obsessive thinking and controlling, and I obviously need to make decisions and navigate life, and I'm just not sure what I can trust because I'm still lacking that experience of that. What, and so for me, it's kind of getting a sense of what a relationship with higher power actually means. And I know that may be different from individual to individual, but I want to come into relationship with it, and I'm just afraid because I don't know. I don't feel like I'm making that connection, if that makes sense.
Oh my goodness, yeah, it makes so much sense. I think I felt like that a lot, especially lately, where I have faith in something. I've seen it work in terms of like things that I never thought I could ever possibly let go of. And yet now I'm here dealing with these character traits that, and including obsessive thinking, compulsive behaviors. And I think for me, like my relationship with this higher power or whatever it is going to continue to change. And some days there are just complete lapses of a connection. I think a lot of that for me is that I feel like a connection is supposed to mean something specific, like a burning bush, or like some grand feeling or power or like relief. Because for somebody like me, I sought relief in things that gave me some sort of effect that was like mind altering. And I think a lot of my struggles connecting with a higher power is in the expectations that I put on what that would mean. The part of this journey is like getting to the other side of the unknown, relying on the program and the women and the men and the people that I've come to get so close to, seeing it work in their lives, watching them walk through these incredibly impossible things. Like it's not a storybook for me. I've seen it happen in so many different lives. Like I've seen people overcome, like, my first sponsor in a different program had overcome things. She just got her nursing license a couple days ago. And before that, when she was still out there, she was as low as you could get. Like there's a magic, for lack of a better term, and a power in these rooms. And that, when I think about that, if I like shift my focus even for a second to these incredible people, like those small miracles, the feeling of gratitude for just having made these lifelong friendships. And I know it sounds very like out there, but there's so much beauty in just this program alone that when I stop and look at that, I feel like even if I'm struggling and I mess up today and I mess up tomorrow and I mess up the day after that, as long as I keep coming back and I keep trying to show up, that these little miracles will work for me too. And I don't have to go through this stuff alone. So when I don't feel like I'm connected, I find somebody that I can talk to. And just talking to another individual, I feel like, is a connection to a higher power. It's something beyond me. So, yeah, I feel like I'm glad you asked that question and had that concern, because it reminds me I need to practice looking at these things that are working, because I tend to go worst case scenario and things just start spinning and I lose track of what I'm doing in this program. So I'm hoping that I kind of answered some of that.
Thank you. Yeah, you did so much. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yvonne?
I'm Yvonne, recovering codependent. I shared this morning that I'm the eldest of nine and from a very big family. And I had been groomed to be a caretaker, caregiver. And I felt it was dinned into me that I was responsible for my siblings. So even growing up and even into adulthood, I was a chronic codependent with my ex-husband and with my parents, with my siblings. I was very controlling and very involved in their lives. I got divorced from my abusive first husband. Then I got into a relationship with a much older man with whom I had 18 very good, happier relationships, but I was so involved with him that I abandoned all my friends, everyone else. And when he got a stroke and was admitted into a hospital, because we weren't married, his family just pretended as if I did not exist in his life and made all the decisions regarding him. And I felt bereft because I felt I had no more role to play. I was so used to being looking after people all the time, and I was literally didn't know what to do in life. And a person came up to where I was working and said, "I believe there's a CODA meeting in this building." And I said, "CODA, what is it?" And she showed me a pamphlet. And you had ticked off all of those traits. I had also been to counseling earlier, and my counselor mentioned the word codependent, but I didn't explore it. But when I saw it in black and white, I realized, my God, this is me. So I immediately went to that meeting that very evening, which was fortunate in the same building I was working in. And I've never seen that person ever again, the lady who brought up the pamphlet to me. So there was proof that there was a higher power in my life, because prior to that, I had a strong argument with my higher power, saying, you know, he was not listening and he was deaf and what have you. I had been brought up in a boarding school and I had enough of higher power. We used to go to mass every day, and I wasn't religious anymore. So when when I was introduced to CODA, and I realized, I was where I was meant to be. I felt this deep sense of gratitude and a deep sense of being loved by a higher power, that I didn't know. Not the kind of a higher power I was used to. So I just threw myself wholeheartedly into my CODA program and gradually came out, hopefully. I will say, well, never say that I'm cured, but I came out of that caretaking sorry, my thing is going off my timer. Beg your pardon. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah.
I've been there.
So I'm glad that, so now I really believe in my higher power, and I've made a new higher power, not the kind of one I grew up with, but someone with them whom I can talk to as if with a friend. I can argue with them. I could not necessarily say a whole lot of mumbo-jumbo prayers, but I literally talk to my higher power as if I'm, even if I'm in doubt as to what should I do, I just say, what would you have me do today? I can't decide. Should I go here? Should I do this? And inevitably I get an answer one way or the other. So I am really grateful that by changing my relationship, I don't look at the higher power as someone that is way up there. I just see it as a very caring father. Sometimes the word father is not appropriate. My father was very abusive. I would say, my creator, my friend, and someone who has my best interests at heart. So thank you very much for introducing this topic, because makes me realize, yes, there is a higher power as far as I'm concerned, and as far, I'm sure, as far as the rest of the world is concerned. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. I definitely feel like the God that I grew up with, I'm grateful to have been able to find a place where I could get past that and feel connected to something else that didn't make me feel like I was constantly wrong. So it's wonderful to hear other people have a similar experience. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ranu?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Ranu, and I'm recovering codependent. I have started CODA I am in CODA for last 6 months now, and I have developed my own concept of my higher power and started working in my life also, in the earlier days of my being in CODA. But now, when the things are not working in my favor, and when I experience that all things are going against me, whatever I try, nothing is working out at all. And I'm struggling a lot. I'm being miserable. And I'm not able to find even a decent home and job or something. Many things are going on. So now the concept in my higher power is shaking. And how do I believe now that higher power is in my favor always, and he always wants the best in me, best for me, and everything like that. Earlier, when I developed my own concept of my higher power, then I used to ask questions from that higher power, and I used to get the answers also. I used to feel why would my higher power loves me? Because I'm not perfect, and I have done so many mistakes or so many things. So I got the answer that my higher power doesn't judge me. He only loves me. So I was communicating with higher power like that. But now I am losing all the connection with my higher power when things are not working in my favor. And I'm losing all the trust that I have developed. So I don't know what I need, what I should do now. Because things are literally very messed up. And even if I'm trying and putting my efforts, still not working out anything. And I'm in a very vulnerable state, miserable state. So I don't know what I should do. I'm clueless. Any thoughts on that?
I feel like I've been clueless so many times. Something that some of my sponsors have told me is that when I'm not sure what to do nothing, which just doesn't apply to every situation. I know that. But in some situations, I feel like this, I'm still relying on this urge to act, this urge to do something or talk to someone. A lot of it, I just needed to sit within myself and accept the unrestlessness and the unease so that I can get to the other side of whatever it is. Sometimes I have to literally just experience the discomfort of not knowing and find a place of acceptance. 1, 2, and 3 those steps I have to work constantly, sometimes hourly, because I have a built-in forgetter that tends to like take the cart and go off the rails. And I've also found that in moments of like most confusion and desperation, this is a we program. I don't have to do anything alone. If I show up to a meeting, there's usually somebody that says something. If I seek for literature, or I pause and meditate, or I just sit still, like pain is usually in the resistance. If I'm not resisting and trying to push and force, and I'm just letting things happen, I've yet to have an experience where there wasn't a clear-cut decision, and I wasn't 100% certain where to go, and by just trusting that things would work themselves out in some way, shape, or form, and taking what action I knew I could take and doing the next right thing, it's never led me into a place that I regretted it. But again, everything's different. I pray, I meditate, I talk to other people, I show up to meetings, and I work through things with people that I trust, and that's in here. Let me see. I think we only have like maybe 15 more minutes.
Yeah, we have about 15 minutes left. Yeah.
How do I keep on believing that my higher power is in my favor always, like when things are not working out at all?
I think that if faith was something simple, it would be, I guess, maybe not as meaningful. When I'm like I've been in situations, and I know I have to kind of keep this short so other people can speak, but I've been in situations where I was literally just stuck in all these really terrible spots, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't know if I was going to have a place to live, and sometimes it rains in threes. And I relied on asking for help and looking at all of the things that I did have control over as opposed to things I didn't, and just doing the next right thing. And it seems so simple, but I mean, we can't predict the future. I can't tell you like specifically what you can do to get over these hurdles other than rely on the program and utilize whatever tools that you've learned in recovery to get through it. Cause there's none of us have ever been promised perfect days. And I think in the hardest days, it's even harder to like rely on faith. But in my experience, I've always gotten through it no matter what. I've always been able to get to the next place. Even if I don't know how long it'll take, it happens as long as I keep showing up. And thank you for sharing, Ranu. Colton?
Yeah, thank you.
I was before anybody else here.
Cindy, I'm sorry, I couldn't see your hand.
Yeah. Oh, you can't see my hand. Okay.
No.
I'll make it brief. I just wanted to say that in my experience, my own intuition has been very helpful to me, because it's like a deeper wisdom or a deeper knowing within me that goes beyond sort of my wounded self or my ego self or whatever the other parts of myself we would want to call them. And a lot of the time that intuition has just like a very good sense of timing. And also does involve most of the time me walking through my fear to get to something that's good for me. So I just wanted to throw that in. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandy. Again, I'm so sorry. I did not have any idea that your hand was up. It's actually a really good point. There's a lot of like the things that I've gone through, I'm very avoidant. I don't like to deal with pain. I have no threshold for pain and I have no tolerance. But when I face whatever it is, I've become stronger. on the other side of it. Nothing has ever been as bad as I've created it in my mind to be. So thank you for that. And now is it Colton?
Thank you again, everyone. We are running slightly out of time, so can everyone keep their questions and comments short, Colton?
Okay, I can make it really short. I just wanted to say I appreciate all the shares in this topic. I just wanted to say the higher power thing. I like the idea that you don't define it. I always tell some of my sponsees, just make it up. You've got a good imagination. And I'll show you how to surrender. In my own story, I hit bottom hard. I was desperate and I was like a sponge. You would absorb anything. I didn't want anything to do with God because I'd been hurt by how I was raised and abused. So I thought the God thing was just total BS. But I ended up in a 12-step program of all places. And 45 years of going to church and doing all the stuff I did, I didn't learn a damn thing about God until I ended up in a 12-step program. And I surrendered. I was in a situation where everything was wrong. And I was in 6 and 7, and I finally surrendered. And what I told God was, I'll show up every day with my tools to go to work. You find all the work and you collect all the money. And that seems kind of like really crazy. But I kind of was crazy. But what's interesting about it is I made a commitment to do my part. And then I didn't think about the part I gave to God. And it took about 2 weeks of keeping my mind centered on what my part. And it was hard. But I had a day where all of my customers called me and they all paid me on the same day. By the time I got to like the 6th or 7th customer, I was crying. I knew what was going on. And for the last 29 months, I have been working all over the Southwest. Really
too long, cold places.
And I'm about done. And the thing is, it's about surrender. It's about letting go and just work the program. And it will work out for our own good. And I like what is being said in that way. It's true. The minute I try to take control of it and try to make it happen, I just screw it all up. If I just take it one day at a time and let God discipline me by how life comes at me, things work out. Appreciate the shares and thank you.
Thank you, Colton. Laura?
Thank you. Good morning here from the UK. I am Laura and I'm codependent. I grew up in a religious household, and my dad was a minister and my mum became a minister. And I think I've always had, from my earliest memories, I've always had a sense of a power greater than myself, but it's been very distorted and conflated with my parents, with the institutions that we were intrinsically kind of living in, and the schooling that I went to. And but it never left me. There was a short period of where I declared myself atheist, very short period in my teens, but then my whole adult life became a spiritual quest. But it got very confused as well. I had gurus. I got a lot from everything that I experienced, and I also confused myself a lot. And then I got to a place where I felt I had a deep connection before 12 step with what I experienced as source. And I felt a huge amount of trust in that when I was handling things well in myself. And that was most of the time. But then I would hit these really dark places and feel bereft and feel terrified. So now when I've come into, after hitting a rock bottom, when I've come into CODA, I've had to really simplify it for myself. And part of coming in to share now is just expressing, I guess, sharing with my higher power or with a power greater than myself that I still am none the wiser, really. I don't have a clear concept. I know it. There is something greater than myself. I'm not in any doubt about that at all. But when it comes to surrender, it's so simple for me. And at the moment, it's very much just praying. And it doesn't matter what I believe or don't believe. And I was brought to that experience with something that happened with my adult son that really, really brought me to a place of just being on my knees, literally. And it was a gift because all I could do was pray. And it's just shown me that if I don't complicate it with my mind and trying to understand with my intellect, but just keep trusting and keep showing up and keep listening. I love this meeting for that, just listening to all the different reflections on this. It can just keep growing, and yeah, there probably is nowhere to land with it anyway. So yeah, that's my share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so I think the two hands that are up are probably going to have to be the only two. Sally?
Yeah.
Sally, are you there?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you say my name. Sorry. I just want to say thank you very, very much for this meeting, because it's been absolutely brilliant and really helpful. And, I've got so much from everything that everyone said. And thank you, Melanie, for your service. And I just wanted to really, the thing that's come through for me most is low self-esteem and how that gets in the way of connecting or developing a relationship with a higher power, because I think that's something I'm really struggling with, and struggle is the word. And yet I've been reassured in this meeting that I don't need to struggle, and I, you know, I'm good enough. And I think I am struggling so much with things like, you know, well, why would God want to have anything to do with me, you know, things like that. Which have been, and I'm only on step two myself. So this is really helpful for that reason as well, being on step two. And although I've been in CODA for 2 years, I've only had a sponsor for about 6 months. So we've done step one and we're coming to the end of step two. And I feel like I'm sort of moving through treacle, you know, with this whole higher power concept. And the idea of God, I think of as male, and that reminds me of my abusive father. And, you know, there's so much going on with me and so many struggles I'm having with it. But just to hear this message that I don't need to struggle, actually, I can just relax. Everything's fine. I'm in the right place. I'm doing the right things. And it's really lovely to hear that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally. Justin.
Thanks for your share. And you mentioned, forgive me if you already mentioned this in your share, but you came to the 12 steps with this concept of a higher power. And my question is, how has your concept or relationship with your higher power, how has it changed after the 12 steps, from the beginning to the end of the 12 steps?
I feel like I can catch myself in moments where I feel like the voice is condemning and negating and belittling me, which would normally be the God that I grew up with. I can catch myself in those moments and remind myself that that doesn't have to be my reality anymore. I feel like I have more freedom to choose better qualities that I would want in an energy or a optimistic view on life itself. It's like a little bit of freedom and fear. I mean, there's always going to be fear and still growing, but for the biggest thing that I've gathered is by being able to decide what I want a God to look like in my life, and not being forced to figure it out today or tomorrow and not being forced to do it perfectly. It's just, it's like I can take a breath and kind of walk away and put more distance between the person that I was when I was condemning myself because of what I believed was my future and the person that I'm becoming, that is living a life that I'm proud of. And I think there's kind of paralleling in a sense, and the higher power just evolves along with it. That's a good question. And thank you.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you, Melanie, for your service. That was a very helpful session indeed. Now we are moving on to the closing of the session. Will someone like to read the promises of Codependence Anonymous?
Okay, I can read it. 12 promises of Codependence Anonymous. I can expect a miraculous change in my life by working the program of Codependence Anonymous. As I make an honest effort to work the 12 steps and follow the 12 traditions, number one, I know a new sense of belonging. The feeling of emptiness and loneliness will disappear. Number two, I am no longer controlled by my fears. I overcome my fears and act with courage, integrity, and dignity. Number three, I know a new freedom. Number four, I release myself from worry, guilt, and regret about my past and present. I am aware enough not to repeat it. Number five, I know a new love and acceptance.